Continue in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. And it comes to a point where we've gone through the four phases. Jesus is better than any person or angel. Jesus was better than the high priest. Those high priests died, they were sinful. He was better than the offerings, you know, so he's better than the old covenant, new covenant. And then last week we talked about he's the better sacrifice. This week, we're going to talk about what did he cleanse when he sacrificed. And I think it's a fascinating passage. You know, the one thing, the theme we've seen all the way through the first nine chapters of Hebrews is everything else was inadequate. I remember when we first got a little travel trailer, it's an old Hilo telescoping. Yeah, telescoping, old. Those things were built out of steel, you know. But I couldn't put it out in the garage because there was a covenant. I mean, I couldn't put it out on the driveway because there's a covenant. I had to put it in the garage. Well, I had to clean out the garage. Some mother said, you can park it over here. I don't want you to park it on my driveway. It looked bad. Park it in the backyard. I said, okay. Well, it had rained. And our hills goes down. And so I go over there, and she had forgot to call and say, by the way, the backyard's kind of muddy, so just park it in the driveway. But, you know, I knew, knowing Mom, that she didn't want it in the driveway. So I backed it down there, and she came in, oh, don't do it. I couldn't get it out. The more I pulled with that old van, the deeper it got. So both the van and the camper were stuck in the mud. And Mom wasn't happy, you know. So I had to call a bigger truck, tow truck, to get the thing out, to pull the van and the camper out, because my vehicle was inadequate. Well, that's exactly what we talk about in the Old Testament, that everything that was done up to Christ was inadequate. Couldn't be done. Jesus Christ came and he was adequate, you know. And so we come here to Hebrews chapter 9:23. He says, therefore it was necessary that the copies of the things of the heavens should be purified with these, but that the heavenly things itself with a better sacrifice than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now it appears to in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins for many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Wow. Now, the word copy here, by the way, probably would be better translated representative. So it represents what was in heaven. So the tabernacle was not the true tabernacle. It was a what? A representative. just like the flag of the United States, it's not the country, but it does what? Represents it. Our national anthem represents the country. And so these are representatives. Now, Hebrews concludes that every aspect of the old covenant fell short of accomplishing redemption of man. Couldn't do it. They were just copies. They couldn't accomplish the real thing. Every part of the Old Testament worship was tainted. The vessels were made of a flawed earth, earth that is tainted with sin. The tabernacle was made with the hands of sinful men. The animals were mortal and inadequate. All nature groans because of sin. The high priest was a mortal sinner. And so he could not take away sin. The high priest could only approach the vessels, God in representative fashion. Not only could he only approach as representatives, but he had unholy vessels. He had unholy offerings that could only represent that which was holy. He cannot stand before God directly. He can only stand before the Ark of the Covenant, the tabernacle, the offerings. He could not stand directly for that. He's only representatives. Worship was limited to the Jew and a few God-fearers. Matter of fact, the Jews could not even enter the court of the Jews. I mean, the Gentiles could not enter the court of the Jews. They were on the outside. And so it wasn't for everyone. So the limit of what the high priest could do fell way, way short of what needed to be done. He could not finish the job. So he was given a job to do that in the end he could not do because he was not holy, his vessels were not holy, his offerings were not holy. And so the repeated efforts of the holy high priest never ended because the job was never finished. So he had sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice, and high priest after high priest after high priest, offering after offering after offering, it could not finish. One of the greatest phrases in the scriptures is Jesus' proclamation of the cross when he declared, "It's finished. The Telestai, it's done." No high priest could say that. Jesus said, "The sin is totally paid for. It's totally finished." So Jesus was the effective superior sacrifice to all other previous sacrifices. Now, whereas the high priest could cleanse earthly vessels, in other words, it's a prescription, whether it's by blood or some was by water or some was by incense, cleanse the holy vessels, but he could not cleanse anything spiritual. These were just representatives. The candelabra and the showbread and the Ark of the Covenant and the altar. All these were just representatives. And so his cleansing was a representative cleansing. But Jesus, by his blood sacrifice, could cleanse all sin and the heavenly sanctuary as well. Now that might pop out and say, wait a minute. Jesus cleansed the heavenly sanctuary? Things of heaven? That's what it says. Well, I thought heaven was holy. Well, heaven is holy. I thought that there was nothing tainted in heaven. Well, you see, when Satan fell, he brought corruption into heaven. Now, God's throne's holy. The elect angels are holy. But he brought corruption into heaven. And so because he brought corruption into heaven, then heaven itself had to be cleansed of the corruption. Now, Let me make this perfectly clear, as one Preston used to say. God wasn't tainted by this. The elect angels weren't. But corruption was found in heaven when Lucifer fell. Matter of fact, Lucifer took 1/3 of the angels with him. So it says that even though the high priest could not cleanse anything spiritual, Jesus not only could cleanse sin, but the corruption that Satan had brought into heaven. And so this is exactly what he did when he came in, that the copies, the representations that the earthly priest could, high priest could cleanse in on earth, nothing spiritually corrupt could be cleansed, but Christ's pure deity made his physical sacrifice effective for all cleansing. So heaven needed the cleansing out, not because heaven was unholy. Heaven's holy. I don't want anyone to say, oh, that sounds rather heretical. But Satan's rebellion had brought corruption into heaven. Because he fell from where? Yeah. I mean, it says, I behold Lucifer fall like lightning out of the heavens. And so Satan's rebellion had corrupted heaven, or brought corruption into heaven. So Genesis 1 through 3, the fall of man had corrupted the image of God in man, and Satan had, his rebellion had brought corruption into heaven. Christ not only cleansed the heavenly sanctuary, but cleansed, if you would, the very image of God by removing or paying for sins. So there's a double cleansing going on here, and Christ's sacrifice was sufficient to pay for all sins for all times. Now, that is exactly why the writer of Hebrews says what he says. He says, if he did not pay for the sins of mankind once and for all, then he would be the high priest. He had to pay for every single sin. He'd have to suffer since the beginning of the foundation of the world. Oh, here's a sin, I got to go pay for that. Here's a sin, I got to pay for that. That's what the high priest did, right? He did not make another sacrifice. No, but Jesus' one sacrifice was sufficient to pay for the sins of everyone for all time. And so the one sacrifice covered all sins for all time. He did not have to do what the high priest did, was continually going into the sanctuary to pay over and over and over again. There was no time that the high priest could say, well, that should do it. Should be finished. No, the next day you have to get up and, well, we got more sacrifices to make. But Jesus paid it all, so that all sins for all of history is paid. And those who trust in the Lord have their sins forgiven. Now, that's why we read out of Colossians chapter 2, that Jesus cleansed the sanctuary. And not only that, it said he took all these principalities captive and made a spectacle of them. The word spectacle refers to the Roman triumphant. When Rome would conquer someone, the conquering general would parade the leaders of the defeated army and defeated government through the streets of Rome, that all may see that they'd be in chains, that they would see that Rome had subdued the Goths or the Iberians or the Gauls or whatever the tribe was, that they had totally conquered them, and quite often they would build a arch of triumph, which would be built in the city of Rome. Of course, Napoleon had copied that and put one in Paris for himself. and they would pass under the arch of triumph now that Rome has conquered. Well, that's the image we have of Jesus taking Satan and his followers, the demons, as a spectacle, that they would be made a spectacle. And the word spectacle here comes from the Greek word, means to gaze upon in disdain, you know, to look upon. And so they are paraded through the streets, and Satan has been made a spectacle of, and that is why, tied to this is cleansing. That's why in John chapter 12 and verse 31, the Lord says, this day the prince of the world is cast out. In other words, as he's heading towards the cross, he says, this day the prince of the world is cast out. Because it was at the point of the crucifixion and the resurrection that finished Satan. Now I want you to keep that in mind, that picture in mind, as we come towards the end here, because there's something he turns on that concept. Because we all know that Satan's still alive and well, right? And still doing mischief, right? What's that all about? Well, we'll just follow along in the passage here. We find out in Revelation 20 that Satan and his angels cast into the lake of fire. We find that out in also in Matthew 25, that they're cast in the lake of fire. Satan is not going to rule in hell. He's just going to, or in the lake of fire, he's just going to be the chief residence there. And so it's once and removed from heaven forever. So we have the contrast between Job chapter 1, where Satan's in heaven. God's talking to Satan, saying, have you considered my servant Job? You know, that phrase probably Job would have preferred to have been left out, you know. And so they have a discussion. Well, in Revelation 12, we have a totally different scene. He says, woe upon the earth, because Satan has been cast down to you with great fury, with great anger. And verses 12, chapter 12, 9 and 10 there, and he's cast out into heaven forever. And why does it say he has great anger? It says because he knows that his time is short. In other words, Satan knows scripture like we do. He knows once he's cast out, he has a very short time. And he's going to be chained up in the abyss for 1,000 years during the millennium reign of Christ. And then he's released. He's going to lead an army against Christ. And then he's just going to be cast straight into the lake of fire. He and his entire, all his followers. And so, unlike the high priest, Jesus needed to offer himself only once, because his offering was adequate to pay for all sin. Now, when you think of the billions of people that ever lived on earth and all the sins, that's a pretty powerful sacrifice to pay for all of it at all times. And he did it once. So his redemption that he suffered is so that he did not suffer from the foundation of the world, but he paid for it once. Now, when he hung on that cross for those 6 hours on that Friday, that period of time, just a quarter of a day, paid for everything. What a Savior. Marvelous. Astounding. And so he died once and for all, and not only did he die that we might have eternal life, but it says that he also cleansed out the heavenlies as well. So, man, he said, now I want you to know this. He said, it's appointed for man once to die. I remember when they asked Jack Ken Cook, the owner of the Redskins, you know, who's going to succeed him. He said, I'm not planning on dying. Well, that didn't work out, did it? At age 83, he died. It's appointed for, so you might do the funeral this afternoon over at Lee's. He lived to be 86, would have been 87 on the 27th of this month. It came a time for Gordon Miller to die. And every one of us, it's going to come a time. He says, you know, we die once and then comes the judgment. Now, if you in Jesus Christ, then the judgment that has been taken, that was planned for you, he took. And the only judgment you have left is, well, how well did we do? You know, were your works for Christ or not for Christ? Those works that are not done for Christ are burned up as wood, hay, and stubble. Those that were done for Christ, they will come out as gold and silver and precious stones. And so those without Christ are judged for their sins and cast into the lake of fire. Now, how long will it take them to pay for their sins? Well, they can't. There's nothing worthy in them to pay. Just like the high priest who kept sacrifice. So, excuse me, the punishment is eternal. Yeah. Forever and ever, where the, you know, worm does not die, neither is the fire quenched. So those in Christ, their sins have already been paid for by what Jesus Christ did. It says over in Romans chapter 6 that our sins were nailed to the cross. And because our sins were nailed to the cross, they shall be remembered no more. So Christ now makes intercession for us because he is not only our Savior, but he is also our high priest. And so Christ came first to pay for sins, but then look what it says here. It says, and then he's going to come a second time to deliver salvation. So wait, time out. I thought I have salvation. Well, you do. You're guaranteed. Let me tell you this how it works. Once you came to Christ, you received eternal life. However, you're not yet glorified. The word salvation means deliverance. So your salvation has not been delivered. So what do we have? Well, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, we were given a down payment. What's the down payment? Well, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Says, okay, this is the down payment that I'm going to deliver the goods. That later on, you're going to get eternalized because we're still in a fallen world. We still have pain. We still have temptations. He said, the second coming at the rapture, the salvation's delivered. Now, you have salvation, but all the benefits of salvation has not yet been delivered because once you're raptured, you get a new body. Believe it or not, it's going to be even more handsome than you are now. Okay, moving right along. It's not going to be subject to pain or aging or the IRS. It's not going to be subject to temptation. It's not even going to be subject to conflict. Totally delivered. We don't see it now because we hold on to our salvation by both faith and hope, but the down payment's been given you to guarantee that it'll be paid in full. Right? And when it's paid in full, you and I will have an eternity to spend with the Lord. And so this is exactly what he did. So we have a threefold thing that's given here. One is the fact that Jesus, when he offered sacrifice. He offered it that it pay for our sins. Secondly, he cleansed heaven of the corruption that Satan brought in. And thirdly, he guaranteed he's going to deliver our salvation completely in full. That's why you have over in Romans chapter 8, where it says that all creation waits for our redemption, waits for this to be paid in full. And so at the second coming, we will have full realization of our glorification and live from then on free of decay. And that is why he said, listen, I have to go. He told his disciples, I have to go, that I might send another comforter. The word is paraclete. We don't have a word to really translate that. It means to come alongside to counsel, come alongside to convict, come alongside to teach, come alongside to comfort, it comes alongside for whatever's needed. And that comforter will be a down payment that one day everything will be delivered in full. So you're going to move from your sins being paid in full to its benefits to be delivered in full. And your Amazon package will be at the door. What a Savior. What a glorious, glorious Savior. And may we relish that. No matter what's going on in your life, your salvation cometh. And it'll be delivered in full. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of us being here. We thank you, Lord, for salvation in Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, as we come before you, that we will just be grateful, committed, submitted, worshipful, and praising you in all things, Lord. Because the salvation that Jesus Christ is such that you and I and all that's in here can have a relationship which continues forever. Lord, if there's anyone listening to the sound of my voice that doesn't know Jesus Christ, we just pray, Lord, that you'll draw them to yourself, Lord, that your name be glorified in them, and Lord, that they'll know the joy of walking with Jesus, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. At the end, we'd like to just give a brief gospel outline, just three basic points. And number one, this man over here represents all mankind because all have sinned and come short of glory of God, and he cannot get to heaven because the evil can't dwell with God, and so his soul is destined for this lake of fire, Revelation 20. But God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that bridge across there is Jesus Christ. Not by works, not by anything that you do, but Jesus paid everything all for your sins on the cross that you might have eternal life. Receiving Jesus Christ by faith, that's why Jesus says he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him. By receiving that faith, by him by faith, you can have eternal life. If you've never done that, today would be a great day to do that, because Jesus Christ is the one who paid for your sins. Amen.